I now move that Senate Bill number, Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 491 be called from the informal calendar and taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 10th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I am at this point going to give an introduction to the Senate Bill number 491, which is the criminal code. This is going to be a fairly lengthy introduction because of obviously the size of the code. And then I plan at the close of the introduction to open it up to inquiry and start vetting this bill during the floor process, which we have been doing offline for years now. This is the first large-scale revision of Missouri's criminal code since 1979. As you know, since that time, we've passed hundreds of new crimes and penalties. 35 years of legislation and court decisions have resulted in an unwieldy, confusing code that is not user-friendly. This revision actually improves the cohesiveness and consistency of the code and allows prosecutors, defense lawyers, defendants, and the judiciary, as well as crime victims, to have a concise set of rules and consequences. Here's how we got to this point. So for 4 years, a group of criminal law practitioners, including prosecutors, public defenders, and criminal defense lawyers, all met to compile a legislative proposal to update and improve the code. Their proposal was filed by Representative Cox and me during the 2012 legislative session. Upon that filing, the legislature started a 3-year vetting process that included an interim joint committee in 2012, a multi-week hearing session in both the House and the Senate in 2013, more interim hearings in 2013, and multiple hearings this year, 2014. To date, this code has had over 20 public hearings. In addition to the public hearings, the Senate Judiciary Committee, under the leadership of our chairman, the Senator from Green, and his amazingly, and I stress amazingly, talented, intelligent, and hardworking staff, along with the patient and hardworking and talented staff that we have in Senate Research, have created an online portal to accept comments and feedback related to this code. The committee webpage also included reports and charts, many of which are on your desk today, and several tools that make the code revisions easier to navigate and comprehend. The legislative vetting of this bill is truly unprecedented. We are fully aware that these changes come with a very large learning curve, and that will require training and education. So what we have done is we have an effective date for this bill of January 1st of 2016. The effective date allows the criminal law practitioners, law enforcement, and the judiciary the time they need to train and implement the changes. Additionally, the legislature will have one additional year before implementation of these laws in order to make cleanup changes that are inevitable with any piece of legislation that goes through this body. The time, vetting, and hard work that we've invested in this product has resulted in something truly amazing. This is legislation that prosecutors, defense lawyers, law enforcement, crime victims groups all agree is a cohesive, smart, tough approach to fighting crime in the state of Missouri. What I'm going to do now is give you an overview of the major changes that are throughout the bill, followed up by specific changes so that we can then open it up to questions that you have about what's in the bill. First and foremost, this bill does not create any new crimes, nor does it criminalize any actions. From a policy perspective, and I know this is going to be hard to believe, this is actually a very plain vanilla piece of legislation. There was a consensus on this legislative proposal, and the only items included were those agreed upon by both the prosecutors and the criminal defense bar. It is not easy, as you might imagine, to get those two groups to agree on anything, but the ideas that came to this floor were only the ones that they had a consensus on. The goal was to make the language of the code more consistent and less antiquated, to make the code a user-friendly, easy-to-understand manual for practitioners. The biggest change that is in this bill is the result of a new Class E felony. The goal of this new felony is to close the gap between B and C felonies. Currently, a Class B felony allows a prison term of 5 to 15 years. and a Class C felony allows a term of 1 to 7 years. Under this proposed revision, the term of imprisonment for a Class C felony would be 3 to 10 years, and the term for a Class D felony would be the current penalty under the C felony. The Class E felony would then contain the penalty that is now provided for a Class D felony. I know that sounds confusing, so there is a chart on your desk that shows the changes to the felonies. I've actually heard some concerns from both liberal and conservative constituencies who are worried that creation of a new Class E felony is going to result in the creation of more felons in the state of Missouri. That is not the effect of this change. The new felony class is between the levels B and C that currently exist. The E felony is actually taking the place of the old D felony. Let me give you an example. Currently, prosecutors and defense lawyers use the plea bargain as a tool to secure convictions and effective, responsible way to handle massive criminal dockets. Oftentimes, prosecutors will take a D felony and offer the defendant a chance to reduce that to an A misdemeanor in exchange for a guilty plea. These arrangements are typically for first-time nonviolent offenders, and this tool would still be available for all parties. But now E felonies could be possibly pled down to A misdemeanors, should the prosecutor so desire. This revision will not result in laws that are currently treated as misdemeanors becoming felonies. Other revisions include grammatical changes, including change the word crime to offense. Some names of crimes have been changed, and we have also replaced the word person with defendant. Statutes have also been amended to make them gender neutral. One other global change is adding the mens rea of knowingly for all offenses that are silent on mens rea. For those of you who are not familiar with the term mens rea, it's a fundamental principle of criminal law that a crime consists of both a mental element and a physical element. Mens rea is a person's awareness of the fact that his or her conduct is criminal. That's the mental element. The actus reus, the act itself, is the physical element. Under the current code, drug-related prior and persistent offender provisions are treated differently than all other crimes. These penalties are now merged, and all prior and persistent offenders, regardless of the crime committed, will be treated the same. This is very important. It will ensure that career criminals will remain behind bars. It also makes sure that we have the right mix of people in our Department of Corrections. In 2010, the Missouri Supreme Court Chief Justice Ray Price delivered the State of the Judiciary speech. He gave us some hard facts and some startling statistics. Missouri's attempts to get tough on crime had had disastrous results. We created a costly system where Missourians were less safe. We were spending more money with bad results. The statistics fluctuate over the years, but let me give you the basics. We spend roughly $16,500 a year to incarcerate someone. Specialty courts and supervised probation cost less, and the public is actually safer when we use those tools. For instance, the recidivism rate for defendants in the state's DWI, drug, mental health, veteran, and specialty courts is only 8 to 10%. That means of defendants who finish the program, only 8 to 10% are committing new crimes. The recidivism rate for supervised probation is only 16 to 18%. The recidivism rate for spending one day in the Missouri Department of Corrections is 40%. And it shoots up to over 50% for those who spend longer in prison. We're actually spending more money and we are less safe because more crimes are being committed. This legislature took steps to correct that in 2012 when we passed the Justice Reinvestment Act. This criminal code revision also helps to address the issue by making sure that prosecutors have the tools we need to put prior and persistent offenders behind bars. Through the continued work of this legislature, including legislation and appropriations, along with the Missouri Supreme Court, local judicial circuits, counties, and cities, we are offering an increasing number of specialty courts and diversion programs to keep our costs down while making communities safer. The bulk of the remaining changes to the code include reorganization of the criminal statutes, that is, moving and consolidating statutes into more common sense, user-friendly code. This reorganization is the reason for the size of this bill. I know that the biggest concern that I've heard from everybody, regardless of what level of government they're in or where they are in the public, their fear is the size. The reason that this bill is so big is because of the reorganization. We are deleting sections from one chapter and then reenacting those very same sections in a new chapter. That's why it's so big. That's also why we put so many helpful tools on your desk today. That's a way to help wade through the changes. There are several charts on your desk right now that will help you with this process. Let's talk about the specific changes at this point. Whenever possible, I'll summarize entire categories of offenses, and I will provide detailed explanations of the major changes from current law. At the close of my summary, I'll open it up for questions and amendments. My hope is that we can start to vet the concerns of the body today. We can collect all the agreed-upon amendments and then incorporate them into a substitute that we can bring back to the floor and discuss. Let's start first with crimes against persons, adult and child abuse orders, robbery, arson, burglary and related offenses, stealing and related offenses, and weapons offenses. The major changes to these chapters include the consolidation of assault crimes, the repeal of current types of assault crimes against special victims, and the enhancement of sentencing for assaults against special victims. Changes to the minimum value of property, that is the threshold between misdemeanor and felony offenses involving stealing and property damage. We are raising that bar now to $750, and we are making those property values consistent among the various criminal statutes. Regarding assault, the code currently has 24 different assault offenses. We are consolidating those offenses to three and creating a new fourth-degree classification assault to close the gap between first-degree and third-degree assault. The current third-degree assault will become the new fourth-degree assault, and the new third-degree assault will now contain the elements of knowingly causing physical injury. Knowingly causing physical injury is not covered under current assault crimes. Recklessly causing physical injury is covered under third-degree assault, which is a misdemeanor. The new third-degree assault will be a felony. The definition of physical injury will also be modified. Currently, physical injury means physical pain, illness, or any impairment of physical condition. The new law would be a slight impairment of any function of the body or temporary loss of any use of any part of the body. Domestic assaults will remain in their own chapter and not merged with this code because of the unique nature of these offenses and because this legislature has spent a significant amount of time over the last 3 years updating and improving our domestic violence laws. This code does not address the sentencing of juveniles charged with first-degree murder. The United States Supreme Court has ruled Missouri's sentencing structure unconstitutional in the case of Miller versus Alabama. This is a controversial issue. There is no consensus yet between the prosecutors and the criminal defense bar. We have addressed the issue, so we have not addressed that issue in the criminal code. There are several pieces of legislation regarding that issue. Negotiations are ongoing, and we will get to that. The chapter on adult and child protective orders will not be moved into the criminal code because the vast majority of that information is actually dealing with how to create or create an order, so we will not be moving that in. One concern that we had when we were talking about theft is specifically came from the retailers and grocers who were concerned that we were changing revisions to the criminal code relating to shoplifting that had just been revised as recently as 2 years ago. Those concerns have been addressed, and we have language that all sides are okay with in this version. Passing bad checks and check kiting is going to be reduced from a Class C felony to a Class E felony. This reflects a change in the thinking about the severity of these crimes. For example, right now in the state of Missouri, involuntary manslaughter is considered a Class C felony, as is check kiting. It was the belief of the prosecutors and the defense bar that involuntary manslaughter was something well above check kiting, so check kiting has been moved down appropriately. It is still a felony. If you received a visit from your library stating they have concerns about reclassification of theft relating to library books, we have left the criminal code the same relating to those crimes, so your library's concerns have been addressed. The weapons offenses have stayed the same in the criminal code as they are now, but but they've been divided into 8 separate statutes to make them easier to read and use. This body has previously made changes to administrative penalties surrounding our concealed carry laws. Those changes will remain in effect and are not included in this bill. I'm going to move on now to sexual offenses and offenses against the family. Fortunately, we completely updated our sexual offense laws last session. Those have been signed by the governor. They're in law, and all of those changes have been reflected in this code. One really neat thing that happened as we worked through the process on this is that we actually found that we had the opportunity to both modernize the criminal code and actually pass a piece of legislation that gets very, very tough on sex crimes against kids. Children's advocates and the folks on the front line working with kids who were sexually abused by adults are calling this the best and toughest bill we have ever presented that actually gives our prosecutors the tools they need to convict defendants who commit sex crimes against kids. Senate Bill 491 does not reduce penalties or downgrade any offenses against children. Child Advocacy Center directors, child abuse pediatricians, and others who work professionally with child abuse victims have provided input into the revision process, and every concern they have had is addressed in the Senate committee substitute. One of the most important changes we made to this bill is an enhancement to Chapter 566, the sex crime statute. We have added incest to the list of aggravating factors that allow for enhanced penalties against those who commit sex offenses. 2/3 of the kids seen in Missouri's child advocacy centers are abused by a relative, and 1/3 are abused by their parent. Adding incest as an aggregating factor will increase our ability to prosecute and incarcerate those who harm our children. There are no changes to the sex offender registry in this bill. A majority of this legislature agreed that changes needed to be made, but because of the controversy surrounding what changes need to be made, this bill is silent on the sex offender registry. Now let's talk about drugs. Let's address the biggest issue first. We are not decriminalizing anything, including drug offenses. It will still be a crime to possess, distribute, manufacture illegal drugs in the state of Missouri. The changes in this code simply reflect how our prosecutors are currently handling first-time drug offenses. Our current penalty structure does not reflect the reality of how these crimes are being punished right now. For example, first-time drug possession cases are currently disposed of with a fine and no jail time. Accordingly, we have changed the penalty for first-time possession of up to 35 grams of marijuana to a Class D misdemeanor. It is a crime. It goes on your record. You will be punished. The only thing that changes is you will no longer face 15 days in jail. You will still face a fine. And in addition to reflecting the reality of how these crimes are currently charged, it's also actually the fiscally responsible thing to do, and here's why. The Constitution right now says, and the Supreme Court agrees, that the state must provide a free lawyer for anyone who's facing jail time who cannot afford a lawyer. Because of this, our state's public defender system is overloaded with clients who are getting a free lawyer, even though they are not, in all reality, facing any jail time because the prosecutors aren't going to give them any jail time for this offense. This bill will end that waste. And this is only for the first offense. If you are charged again for possession of up to 35 grams of marijuana, you will be charged with a Class A misdemeanor, which comes with a penalty of up to 1 year in jail and a fine of up to $2,000. If you do not get the message after that, you will be treated as a repeat offender, and Missouri's tough laws on prior and persistent offenders will kick in, and you will serve a lot of time in the Department of Corrections. Finally, I want to address DWIs. This bill improves the safety record or the safety of our roads by getting tough on habitual drunk drivers and those drivers who are responsible for the death of a passenger because of intoxication. Let me give you an example. If a driver is intoxicated and she crashes her car and kills the passenger, her current punishment range is 1 to 7 years in prison. If we pass this, we will have revised that punishment and it will now be 3 to 10 years in prison. Additionally, we have revised a range of punishment relating to DWI cases. First offense is a B misdemeanor up to 6 months in the county jail. Second offense, A misdemeanor, up to 1 year in a county jail. Third offense, E felony, up to 4 years in prison. Fourth offense, D felony, up to 7 years in prison. Fifth offense, C felony, 3 to 10 years in prison, with a minimum 2 years served before parole eligibility. Sixth offense, B felony, 5 to 15 years in prison. You will be classified as a dangerous felon, which means that 85% of the sentence has to be served before becoming parole eligible. This is a new enhancement which ensures that habitual drunk drivers will serve lengthy prison sentences. While treatment programs such as DWI courts are currently available to use in low and mid-level offenses, we need those lengthy prison sentences prior to parole eligibility on the high-level offenses to keep the roadways safe. We have a few cleanup amendments that we need to offer to address some of the issues that have come to our attention since the Senate committee substitute. For example, I've received some input from members of the agriculture community here in the state of Missouri concerned about the Crop Protection Act. We agree with those concerns, and we're going to make those changes, and we will be explaining those on the floor through the process. For the sake of convenience, I'd like to keep a list of all of these issues so that we can come back with a Senate substitute rather than trying to keep track of all of the amendments on this unwieldy bill. And before I open it up to questions, I'm going to have one inquiry, and then I just want to start the process of letting you start the vetting process that we've been working on for the last 3 years. So I'm going to wrap this up and say, Mr. President, may I inquire of the Senator from Green?
Senator from Green, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the 10th? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I just finished at the indulgence of my colleagues, an extraordinarily long introduction to a bill that a lot of people have been concerned about because of its size. But I wanted to first thank you for the amazing work that you and your staff and Senate Research have done on this, because we actually have several tools out here on our desks today that help us wade through this process.
Well, thank you, and I want to thank you for your leadership. You explained the bill, I think, very well, and you talked about the process that we've gone through. You know, starting, I know that you went to all the hearings or the committee meetings, I believe, that the bar had, and even trying to put some of this together, you went to some of those, and then all the things that we've done here, both the committee as well as the interim committee, and I want to thank you for your diligence.
Well, it has been truly an amazing process. You know, when we first started down this road, they were having trouble finding a senator who was willing to wade into this. I am not a criminal lawyer by practice, and so I have learned probably more about criminal law for adults. I represent juveniles in the delinquency system, but for adults, than I ever thought that I would. And I couldn't have done it had it not been for all of the prosecutors and the defense bar and all of the folks who have spent such an enormous time educating us. I know that the biggest issue that I had at the beginning of all this was, that is just too big, and how do I tackle it? And the answer is, one page at a time, one question at a time. And so I was so thankful that you participated in the Joint Interim Committee, that you as chairman of the committee last year took the opportunity to go through all of those hearings so we could ask the little tiny questions and then the big broad questions. And so I think if we hadn't have had those opportunities, we wouldn't have the comfort level that we have right now. And what I'm really excited about is knowing that not only do we have the most thoroughly vetted piece of legislation that I think this chamber has ever worked on, but we also have a unique thing where this is actually not even going to be implemented until 2016. So to the extent that there is cleanup work necessary, we'll be able to come back next year and work on that.
Well, and I think that's a great point because, you know, the size of the bill has given us good pause. And it may actually, I think that's a wonderful thing. We should be able to take the time to vet the bill. We should be able to do that with any bill, and we attempt to do that. But I think because of the size of the bill, it's probably received more scrutiny because you and I and our committee, those involved in the process, have been so careful to try to catch every little thing that we can. And, of course, we'll continue to do that as anything is brought to our attention. But and then, of course, you mentioned the year that's there for anything that might have, any overlap that we might not have seen. Even though we've gone to the effort of talking to law enforcement even to see how this will impact charge codes, We've talked to the reviser of statutes to see how will this mesh with any other piece of legislation that this General Assembly passes. We don't want to have conflicts so that neither bill can, you know, go into effect. So we've really gone even to the next level of scrutiny, and I thank you for that. And our whole committee has, we've endured a number of hearings. And I think that at the end of the day, when our 32 colleagues in this chamber have the opportunity to thoroughly vet it in their own independent way and offer any changes they might, through their wisdom, see fitting, I think we can come up with a bill that, that this chamber can be proud of, and we can lead not only in the legislature but in state government in streamlining and making the code more effective and making Missourians safer.
I agree, Senator. And, you know, one of the things that I didn't mention in my very lengthy introduction was the fact that in addition to all of those things that we've done, we've also heard a significant amount from the governor's administration through all of his departments and agencies, coming to us and telling us firsthand how some of these things are going to affect their day-to-day business. And we have been busy retooling the bill to make sure that all of those things are included as well. And I think just the kind of all-hands-on-deck approach that we've had makes me incredibly proud of this piece of legislation. And I'm excited that we finally have the opportunity to do as you suggested today, which is let our colleagues out here ask us the questions and turn it into a bill that the entire chamber can be proud of.
Well, I think so. You know, Senator, you and I had this conversation last year toward the end of session, and I had to make the tough call of saying, well, let's hold off and give it another interim. Even though we had, at that point, fully vetted the Senate bill, we had that House bill that came over. And even going through this interim and meeting with some of those folks again, we still found a few things here and there that we were able to make changes to and modify. And we gave our colleagues another interim and part of a session to go through and have that much more time to vet the bill. And I think, like you said, being able to get into the nitty-gritty of how it will be implemented and getting that input back from the departments has been most helpful. And I think last count, I think we had a full page of modifications that went into this version that's before us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Senator, thank you so much for everything that you and your staff have brought to this process. I appreciate it very much. I suspect that when you first ran for office, this wasn't at the top of the things that you were going to tackle when you got down here to Jefferson City, but it is very clear that this is not only going to make Missouri a safer place, but it's going to make us more effective and on crime, and it's more fiscally responsible. So I'm excited that we got to be a part of this process.
Well, thank you, and thank you again for your leadership. You know, it goes without saying this is probably one of the most important things that as legislators we decide what are the laws of the state going to be with respect to enforcing public safety and making sure that our citizens are safe and that they can find justice. So I thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from the 10th has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute. Is there any senator that desires to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 29th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
I do.
A couple of things, proceed. Senator. One of the things that has been on my mind for years, and it's the drug sentences, and that's one of the first things that I went to in the summer to look at, and I'm glad, you know, I wish we could have done something years ago on this, but I'm glad at least we're doing it now, because it makes perfectly sense. But something more important, well, maybe not more important, but pretty important, was that did you know tomorrow morning in the Rotunda, breakfast will be served by the Branson Lakes Area Legislative Partnership?
No joke.
And do you know what they're serving?
What are they serving?
Biscuits and gravy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I am so excited.
I tell you what,
you know, that's my hometown.
That's your hometown.
And so I think I'm definitely going to. Now, is it squirrel gravy or is it?
It Just yes, yes, it is.
Oh, okay. All right. If that gets me there.
If that gets you there.
Yeah.
And
so.
I will be furnishing cholesterol medication after.
After. Okay. After so cholesterol medication and biscuits and gravy from the Branson. What are they called again?
The Branson Lakes Area Legislative Partnership Breakfast.
Fantastic. I'm going to go check it out in the rotunda tomorrow morning.
From 8 to 10.
8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Senator.
Welcome. Thank you for the inquiry.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute to Senate Bill 491? The junior senator from St. Charles, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, may I inquire the senator from the 10th?
Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
I do.
She does proceed.
I didn't see anybody jumping out of their chair.
Yeah,
here.
You didn't really want to get clothes off. Well, as I mentioned, we do have amendments that we need.
It wasn't how I envisioned this thing going here.
Sure. So, you know, this is really the opportunity. One of the things, Senator, that folks have said to me is, it's so big. How do we know what's in it? I just read what's in it. So now I would love questions if anybody has them.
Okay. I don't know that necessarily there's so much questions. I think it would be quite likely that you would get very few questions. But when you see a bill like this, it's an easy no.
Sure.
And I think the senator from Green mentioned, well, before I say that, first, I appreciate this isn't like your pet issue, why you came to Jefferson City. And
no.
Somebody was referring this bill as your bill to me earlier. And I don't think that's why you took it on. I think you took it on out of obligation as a senator and belief that this is a worthy endeavor of the senator and that somebody needed to take it on. So have a law degree, why not you? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, I mean, that's true, Senator. I mean, the reality is that, you know, contrary to popular belief, there really aren't a lot of lawyers in the legislature, and the number of lawyers that practice criminal law in the legislature, it's even smaller. And so when the Missouri Bar came to me 3 years ago and asked if I would be willing to do this, I agreed to it. And you're right. It's not why I necessarily came down here. When I came down here, I was looking at issues related to kids in foster care and child care assistance and all those other things that I've been able to tackle as well. But I think it's important because the folks who handle criminal justice in this state, whether they be prosecutors or defense lawyers or judges, they say we need to do it, and so I want to give it a shot, and that's why I'm doing it. I know, Senator, that we have some cleanup amendments that we're going to need to get to, and I'm happy to do that as well. I would love to hear your ideas for maybe how we can explain to people what's in here. I have tried individual meetings. I've tried group meetings. It has been, Senator, vetted in a way I've never seen any bill vetted before.
And I've talked about this bill as a priority, and I possess no legal background.
Sure.
Nor, you know, do I have any desire to do so after this. But kind of along the lines of what you were saying, there are a lot of people who spend an awful lot of time on this, and it's been 40 years, and well, there is kind of a hodgepodge as we've kind of pieced this together and new criminal statutes and new laws for new crimes. And it was very logical to me that there comes a time and a place where you should be able to take a subject matter this big and be able to revise it. And that I think we can deal with an 1,100-page bill if we take the time to do it. You know, it's like how do you eat the elephant? One bite at a time.
Bite at a time.
And I thought the senator from Green mentioned that, he mentioned how we were taking from some areas and put it in another section of criminal statute. But, you know, a simple, you know, what I guess was kind of explained to me, and I thought you did a very good opening explanation, was to kind of go through chapter by chapter, starting with, you know, page one and a very, you know, mundane and probably sometimes unexciting way, kind of wade through it
And you're the one doing most of the work.
Sure.
So, but if that's something you're willing to do,
absolutely.
For me, is you know, it's I'm reminded of the things. Well, you know, you hear the story about how topological got put in the law, or
sure.
how the sodomy statutes got taken out of the books. And I think that type of discussion. Now, the problem you have is you got a Senate substitute you're working on. You may have to do this twice.
Okay.
But I think if you do it that way, then everybody's taking the time. We're taking the effort on the floor. We're looking at the language that's in bold. We're looking at the language that's bracketed, and line by line going through it and say, here's why we're doing this. Here's what it does. If we're moving it, then you know, referencing that and saying, okay, now go to page X and here's where it is, and just. I can't. That's in my mind how it would put my mind at ease. And I respect you, and I think that there's nothing that you're trying to hide. But I think that kind of reaffirms that if we do that kind of exercise, it does more to take those people who don't have that kind of relationship with you, put their mind at ease.
And I understand that. I guess part of my concern is I'm looking around the chamber and I see half of us or less here.
Well, sometimes I listen in my office.
I always listen in my office. And I guess one of the concerns I have is that if I take the several hours that you're suggesting to go through the entire bill line by line, which I am absolutely more than willing to do, you know, my concern is I will still have senators who say they're voting no because it's too big. And so that's a waste of everybody's time.
Well, and that's a common problem here, is people who object to the way that you do something,
sure.
but don't have the time, the effort, or the wherewithal to offer a plan themselves.
Right.
And
okay.
I can't help that.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, I think that I'm more than happy to start that process.
That's just my suggestion.
No, I think that's fine.
I promise you I will stay on the floor as much as I possibly can.
Well, Senator, I would not blame you at all if you needed to step away. I think I'm going to start with a brief inquiry, possibly with the senator from Green to kind of just reposition. What I did with my introduction today was I explained the global changes that are throughout the entire bill. I explained the size of the bill is because we are actually repealing language, which makes us, you know, completely put it all there, and then reenacting it somewhere else. And that's why it got so big, because when you take it out of one place and put it in another, you have to list it all.
Well, and you think you'd be able to run through that part, those parts pretty quick.
Right, exactly. And then the actual changes that I thought were of significance to this chamber, I actually put in there so that they wouldn't hide it. But I'm ready, absolutely, to go through piece by piece, and I think we should just get started.
I'll try to help where I can, but I can't commit any votes to you other than my own.
I totally understand. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 10th.
I inquire of the Senator from Green.
Senator from Green, do you yield?
I sure do. Thank you.
He does proceed.
Senator, I saw you had something that you wanted to chime in on, so I didn't know if you
yes.
wanted to get an inquiry of me or if you wanted to speak to one of the other legislators.
No, I appreciate your inquiry, because if you hadn't inquired of me, I was going to inquire of you so we could get this process started.
Great.
The senator from the 23rd mentioned that. I actually was sitting on the bench afraid nobody was going to ask a question. So, because one of the things that I want to mention to the body is we are working on a substitute, a Senate substitute, that will make a couple of changes, and discussions that my staff has had with your office, we think that we found a way to slim the bill down, actually.
Yes.
And I don't have an exact number of pages, but we think we can make some mechanical changes in a way that will take several hundred pages, potentially several hundred pages off the bill for the final product. The other thing that we're working on, and again, this goes to the challenge of how do we pass such a large bill at a time when we're doing other legislation, and if we touch those same statutes, if they're not there or they conflict, then neither law can go into effect. So the two chapters that we intend to pull out of the bill completely are Chapter 571, the weapons offenses.
Sure.
And the 319 statutes on concealed carry. One of my concerns with the Second Amendment legislation that we passed earlier in session was the conflict, and I support the concept of what we were trying to do. How do we make it work so that we don't wind up with that and this being unenforceable?
Right.
Cannot be enacted. So in conversation with the senator from the 18th, we felt like this was probably the best thing to do because there may even be other bills floating around out there. Let's just pull it out so that we don't have that hanging out there until 2016 and create other conflicts. So that will shorten it a little bit as well. And I think it's the probably the cleanest way to do it. The things that were being modified in there, we can do in a separate bill.
Okay.
So, but why don't we, for the sake of the full vetting of this on the floor, why don't we look at this comparison chart that is available on members' desk. Let's
yep.
just kind of go through this thing.
I think that's how we should do it.
That might
I
be
think
the easiest
that,
way, and everyone can follow along with.
I agree that that's the easiest way to tackle this. This is a method that we have used over the years with several of our omnibus bills. I know that the former senator from the 8th, Senator Bartle, really got us in the habit of using these charts to help digest everything that's in the bill. So I think that's probably how we should tackle it.
I think he called them Bartle briefs. I don't have a
Bartle briefs.
I don't have a phrase for this. It's just, you know, good staff work is what I call it. Okay, why don't we start at the first one there? If you want to, okay, if I'm on the correct page, yes, 1 of 61 dealing.
Yes.
The first page covers tax revenue and election laws. There's one down there dealing with public order crimes, abortion, health and safety. Let's kind of go through this page.
Yep, absolutely. I think we'll start with the tax revenue crime. We are going to change tax revenue crimes under, and I'm going to have to probably get some of those cheater glasses before this is over because this is so small. But
we have a joke in our office about that, by the way. You should see the handwriting. This is just the type stuff.
I know. I'm going to have to try to see if I could do this. But we've got under the statute under 032057. Under tax revenue, we're going from a D felony to the new E felony.
Which and essentially is
the same.
It's the same. It's a
yeah. yeah. And for the benefit of the body, anytime we go from a D to an E felony, that means everything's staying exactly the same because the new E felony is the old D felony. So
can we kind of explain that stair step a little bit where
yeah,
we inserted the new step?
Yeah. As I mentioned, right now we've got four classes of felonies, A, B, C, and D. A felony is 10 to 30 years or life. B felony is 5 to 15. C is 1 to 7. And D is 1 to 4. Everybody felt that we had a gap. And so what we're doing now is the A felony stays the same and B felony stays the same. C felony changes to 3 to 10, D changes to 1 to 7, and E goes from 1 to 4.
So if we were to graph that, it would look like something, and I'm going to graph it in the air here because I don't
okay.
have a graph to put on the desks. So we have A, B, C, and D, and there's that gap in the middle. So we're adding a felony in the middle, and that's the new C.
Yes.
And the old C becomes the D, and the D becomes
Correct.
The E. So we're adding the step in the middle. That's why when we see it's changing from a D to an E, we're not decreasing the penalty. We're just
No.
changing the letter.
Right. We're just
Okay.
changing the letter. And if you Okay. look at it, like you said, like a ladder, there was a gap way up high that was really dangerous. And what we're doing now is putting another rung in that ladder between the B and C so that we can kind of fill that up.
And that's one of the things the prosecutors talked about, having more tools, because they had to choose between the B and the C, and maybe it really fell somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Well, the jury may not convict on the higher penalty, so they're prosecuting
right.
down on the old C. So it makes perfect sense, and I think it's Okay, so I think we're good with that. So we're not reducing the penalty. Let's go to the next one.
Okay, so the next one has to do also with tax revenue. The first one, by the way, we said was regarding to breach of confidentiality regarding taxes. The second thing under tax revenue, which is 577-005, has to do with forwarding arrest information for intoxication-related offenses and traffic offenses to MULES, which is our statewide reporting software. That has been moved from one section to another with no changes. Moving on now to, and actually this is one of the things that's going to change. We've got two sections here relating to updated sections on concealed carry endorsements. That's actually going to be removed from this bill. That is a fix that we've done outside of this process, and that will not be part of the final bill. That'll help make the bill a little smaller, and it allows us to continue to update those things outside of the work that we're doing here on the criminal code. Now let's move down to prohibited acts by public officials and lobbyists, including reporting second or subsequent offenses. We are moving that from a D to an E felony, which once again is no change in penalty. We are now into election laws, Senator. We are changing a Class 1 election offense, willfully providing false documentation required for voter registration under Section 115-155. That will be from a C to a D felony. It also repealed obsolete intersectional references. In election laws, in direct payroll deduction to a continuing political committee other than the committee chosen by the employee, there is no change. We are repealing election laws that were declared unconstitutional in Legends Bank versus the state. That was Senate Bill 844. If I remember correctly, at the time that passed, it was called the greatest ethics bill in the universe, I think, was the message that came over from the House at that time. And it was actually later repealed or found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. And
so
it's
we're
being
just removing it from
repealed,
the statute.
So.
Let me interrupt you here,
yep,
because I want to make sure that I failed to fully explain the use of the two tools and how they interrelate. The legal size chart that you and I are going down right now, line by line, correlates to the document that says listing of bookmarks. That is how we can see which page this is on in the bill. So, for example, let's go back up to the very first one there on tax revenue. We see that in column 3, first page, top of the page, Senate Bill 491 statute reference is 027.105. And if members will look at the top of this listing of bookmarks, it says page 14 on the very top line, 27.105, Attorney General New. That's how we find what page we're on. So that item is on page 14. So as we go down this list, each one of those has a cross-reference with this sheet so we can find that page in the bill. So whether we're doing it here on the floor or members want to look at it as midnight reading material over the weekend. By the way, did I mention to you that I took this to Big Cedar and read it while my wife was reading a book?
Wow. That's commitment.
It wasn't very romantic.
But
that way we can see how these work. And
sure.
So, okay, back to where we were.
Okay.
And then I'll just mention the page number as we're kind of going through this.
Perfect. Okay, we are now back on election laws. This is 130028, Employer Committee Labor Organization Receive Cause Political Contributions from Members or Employees Except by Consent. There is no change. Section 130.028, once again repealed through the declaration that Senate Bill 844 is unconstitutional.
And this can all be found on page 28 of the bill.
Okay. Section 130028, relating to certain discrimination or intimidation relating to elections, That is now from a D to E felony with general neutral language. Those are the only changes there. All right, the following three sections are 130031. They are all repealed because of Legends versus the state of Missouri having to do with SB 844 being found unconstitutional. There is no change to section 142909, failure to comply with chapter 142.
That's over on page 30 of the bill.
Okay. And 142909, failure to comply with chapter 142 with intent to defraud. Penalties stay the same. Change the letter from D to E. Now going back into tax revenue, we are at section 142.911.
Which is on page 31. I think members are probably starting to see why we're revising the code, because we're bouncing all over the place, but we're going in numerical order on the pages.
Yeah, that's the thing that's so fascinating, is we're going in numerical order on this large chart that we have. And for those of you who are keeping score back in your offices with your charts in hand, we're going from the smallest numbers all the way to the greatest numbers, but we're jumping all over the place on the types of crimes that we're dealing with. And that's why this has become so unwieldy, because we've got one chapter with all of these different things.
If you're a prosecutor or a defense attorney or a public defender, you're literally flipping all over Missouri statutes trying to piece it together.
Right.
Whatever your case is.
It's just become completely not user-friendly.
Yeah.
So we look now at... I think we're at 142.911, motor vehicle fuel tax evasion. We change it from felony D to felony E, no penalty change with technical changes. Section 143.1001, breach of confidentiality. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay, I'm sorry.
Anytime you have a page number or anything to interject, that'd be great.
It's page 34. I'll just mention it after you mention the section number.
It's breach of confidentiality regarding tax refund contributions to the Veterans Trust Fund. That's from a C to a D felony, no penalty change. Section 143.1003, breach
page
of Okay. Breach of confidentiality regarding tax refund contributions to Missouri National Guard Trust Fund. That goes from a C to a D felony, no penalty change, technical changes included. Section 149.200.
Page 37 now.
Knowingly or recklessly altering cigarette packages and or selling, distributing, possessing cigarettes not in compliance with federal regulations. That goes from a D to an E felony, no change in penalty. Section 168.071.
Page 38.
That is revocation, suspension, or refusal of teaching certificate or license. This update section references offense names and penalty classifications. That's all that happens in that statute. Then we have section 188.030.
We're jumping to page 44 now.
This is relating to our state's abortion laws. Perform or induce an abortion of an unborn child in violation of section 188.030 RSMO. There is no change in the penalty to this. We are changing the letter from C to D. Now moving on to health and safety. Section 190.621.
Jumping to page 50.
This is the crime of executing, falsifying, or forging an outside the hospital do not resuscitate order identification of another person without consent of another person, or concealing or withholding personal knowledge or revocation. We are changing that from a D to an E with no penalty change. All right. Health and safety, section 190.621.
We're on the same page.
This is relating to concealing, canceling, defacing, obliterating an outside the hospital do not resuscitate order identification or other person without consent of the other person, or falsifying or forging a revocation of the order or identification. There is no change to that statute. Section 191.905.
Same page, page 50.
Is abuse of a health care recipient, physical, sexual, or emotional harm or injury, property value greater than 500. We are now changing that from a C to a D felony. That is no change in penalty, just change in letter. Section 191.905. is abuse of a health care recipient with no injury. There is no change to that statute. Section 191.905, violations involving health care payments, second or subsequent offense. No change to that at all. Section 191.905, violations involving health care payments, first offense. We're changing that from a C to a D felony. Section 191.905, willfully preventing or attempting to prevent, obstruct, or mislead or delay communication or information or records regarding violation of health care payment fraud and abuse. That is changed from a D to an E with no change in penalty. Section 191.914, intentionally file false report or claim alleging violation of regulations.
We're now moving up to jump from page 50 now to page 57 for everybody's information.
Regarding health care payment fraud and abuse, second or subsequent offense, this is going from a D to an E with no change in penalty. Intentionally file a false report or claim alleging a violation of regulations regarding health care payment fraud and abuse, first offense, no change. 191.914, receive compensation in exchange for failing to report a health care fraud or abuse violation, changing the letter D to E with no change in penalty. Section 193.315, providing false information to vital records.
That's still on page 57 of the bill.
Okay. That goes from D to E, no change in penalty. Refusal to provide information to vital records, there will be no change. Knowingly disturbing, destroying, removing, vandalizing, or damaging a marked or unmarked burial site, changing the letter from D to E, no change in penalty. Profiting from human remains, second or subsequent offense, changing from D to E, no change in penalty. Profiting from human remains, first offense, no change. Profiting from cultural items, second or subsequent offense, change the letter from D to E, no change in penalty. Profiting from cultural items, first offense, no change. Section 194.425.
Now we're jumping, those that you just mentioned were all on page 59. And we're now still going to be on the same page, but moving to the next section, 194.425.
Now that we have moved 194.425, we go to abandonment of a corpse. That is changing from D to E, no penalty change, along with some technical changes. Then we move to 195.005.
Same page.
You're now in the dangerous drug section. This is the Comprehensive Drug Control Act. We removed of 1989 as a reference and updated chapter references. So it was previously called the Drug Control Act of 1989. It will now be called the Comprehensive Drug Control Act. On 195.010.
Same page.
There are chapters 195 and 579. It includes definitions. We update chapter references, add gender-neutral language, and add technical changes. Thank you very much. 195.015.
We're now jumping to page 75.
Okay.
And I'll just mention that in between these sections, there may be some technical changes like you described in your opening, but the section may carry all the way through, or in some case it may just be a technical change. So we're now on page 75.
And
by the way, aren't the doorkeepers just wonderful folks?
They are unbelievable. I mean, absolutely unbelievable. I was getting a little parched from my my recitation here, and they just brought us some nice cool water. So thank you so much to Bill and everyone for doing that for us. And just once again, for those of you who are following along with your bill or your chart, the page numbers that Senator from Green is giving are the actual page numbers of the bill that's on your desk. And I am reading what those changes are made on those pages. So we're actually going through page by page and explaining everything that's been changed in the bill.
And just for the benefit of anyone who might be listening online, and we hope there are folks that might be following along, these resources are available in PDF format on the Senate Judiciary Committee website, along with other resources, just kind of continuing that. 5:30 until we get everybody. Effort, if you will, to incorporate public comment. We've had public comment on the website, but these resources are available so folks can follow the debate online and know where we are with the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Okay. We were at section
195016. I'm sorry, 015, page 75.
Thank you.
Yes. Regulations.
This is the authority of the Department of Health and Senior Services to control schedules of controlled substances. We've updated chapter references. 195.016.
Over on page 77.
This is nomenclature related to controlled substances. We've updated the section references. 195.017.
Same page.
Knowingly and recklessly failing to comply with requirements of section 195.017.11 regarding dispensing, selling, or distributing ephedrine, pseudoephedrine without a prescription. We have referenced section 579.060 for penalties. Just so everybody knows, we are not requiring a prescription for pseudoephedrine. That's been a controversial issue over the years, Senator. So,
but this is probably a good place to mention that things that are controversial or have created angst between members, we've tended to keep them out of the criminal code, like juvenile life without parole, for example. Senator from Johnson asked me if there was anything in here on juvenile life without parole, because it's an issue that many members are concerned about. So this is a great time to mention those things of controversy. We felt like they need to be dealt with by the General Assembly separately.
Right.
So, thank you.
Absolutely. Moving along, 195.017.
Still on page 77.
Knowingly, recklessly dispensing or selling, purchasing, receiving, or acquiring quantities of ephedrine, pseudoephedrine greater than specified in Chapter 195. We make a reference to Section 579.060 for the penalties. More dangerous drugs, 195.017. We're still in the same statute. Knowingly, recklessly failing to locate ephedrine, pseudoephedrine products behind the pharmacy counter. We now reference Section 579.060 for the penalty. Knowingly, recklessly, knowing or reckless failure of pharmacist, intern, or registered pharmacy technician to implement and maintain an electronic log. We now reference Section 579.060 for the penalty. Moving forward, we've got Section 195.025. This is related to, it has been repealed. It's related to certain prohibited uses of vessels, aircrafts, and vehicles. 195.030.
I'll just mention now we're jumping to page 109. Senator, we're almost a tenth of the way through this.
I know. I'm excited. We're moving right along. We've got seven more minutes that we're going to have to quit and start again in the morning, I've been told. So I'll start talking just a little bit faster. 195.030, authority of the Department of Health and Senior Services to promulgate rules and charge fees relating to registration and control of manufactured distribution dispensing of controlled substances. That section, we actually update chapter references, and we make gender-neutral language. 195.040, This is registration to manufacture and distribute and dispense controlled substances. We've updated chapter references and added gender-neutral language.
That all starts on page 111.
Then we move to 195.050, which is legal sales of controlled substances. We've updated chapter references and added gender-neutral language. 195.060, selling and dispensing controlled substances on prescription only.
On page 119.
All we do on that one is make gender-neutral language. 195.080.
Page 120.
These are accepted substances. All we do is update chapter references. 195.100.
Page 122 we're at now.
Labeling requirements for controlled substances. All we do is update chapter references. 195.110. This was user of controlled substance to keep it in container in which it was obtained. That has been repealed. 195.135. This was a search warrant, search and seizure for unlawful controlled substances or imitation controlled substances. That has been repealed. 195.140.
We're on page 123 now.
This is the forfeiture and disposal of controlled substances and drug paraphernalia. All we've done here is update the chapter with section references and gender-neutral language. 195.150. This is the procedure upon conviction, professional licensing, and registration. We've updated chapter references and added gender-neutral language. 195.190.
We're on page 126.
The duty of the Department of Health and Senior Services and staff and the state peace officers, county attorneys, to enforce chapters 195 and 579. All we did was update chapter references, 195.195. This is the authority of DHSS director to promulgate regulations for enforcement of the Comprehensive Drug Control Act, updated chapter references, 195.198.
Same page.
This is educational and research programs on controlled dangerous substances. We've updated chapter references and gender-neutral language. 195.213. This is has been repealed. It was relating to purchasing or transporting controlled substance with a minor. Many of these things that have been repealed, it's because they exist otherwise in the law. Section 195.214. This has been repealed and consolidated with Section 579.030. It was relating to distributing a controlled substance near a school. Section 195.217, it's relating to distribution and delivery of heroin, cocaine, cocaine base, LSD, amphetamine, methamphetamine in or near a park. It has been repealed and then consolidated with Section 579.030. Section 195.219, this has to do with unlawful endangerment of property regarding production or protection of controlled substances, including serious physical injury. It has been repealed, and the portions that are in current law are now found in sections 565.065 and 579.070. Still on the same statute, which relates to unlawful endangerment of property regarding production or protection of a controlled substance involving physical injury, it's repealed. It's already in current law in sections 565.065 and 579.070. Same statute, unlawful endangerment of property regarding production or protection of controlled substances, repealed because it's currently in law in those previously mentioned sections. Section 195.246, relating to possession of methamphetamine precursor drug with intent to manufacture amphetamine, methamphetamine, or any of their analogs. It's been repealed and reenacted in sections 195.420 and 579.110. Senator, we are at the close of one of our pages, and I think that because I've been asked to lay this over at 5:30, that this would be a good place to break.
I think it's a great place, and the next place will pick
up at the top of the page 4 when we start tomorrow morning.
And that would be, for those that are following along in the bill, that would be page 128 in the bill, section, for all intents and purposes, 195-375, after we finish up the section you're on.
Right. Senator, thank you so much for your inquiry. I look forward to inquiring of you at length tomorrow morning.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 10th.
Please place this bill on the informal calendar.
That bill shall be placed on the informal calendar.